2 years now. It's hard to believe that Kylie's been away at college for that long, but she has. Almost 2 years during which I've continued to wait for Ty's promises of less time at the office and more time at home to actually bear fruit. Only they never have. And I guess this is what it has taken to make me see that they never will. Me, sitting on a suitcase, alone in our house, waiting for something that's not going to happen. Waiting for Ty to realize that we hardly even know each other anymore. Waiting for him to remember how much he had once loved me. Waiting for him to miss me. I feel my phone vibrate in the pocket of my jacket. I know without looking that it's Ty. Calling to make sure I've canceled our tickets and gotten as much of a refund as I can, considering that it's last minute. I know that he'll also want to make sure I'm back to my cheerful self. He'll be waiting for the note of impending forgiveness in my voice, the one that tells him he doesn't need to feel guilty. I'll be here, as I always have. Things happen, plans get changed. Buck up and move on. I pull the phone from my pocket, stare at his name on the screen. I lift my thumb to tap answer. I'm poised to do every one of the things that Ty expects of me. I really am. Then I picture myself alone in this house every day from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at night, and I just can't stand the thought of it. I actually feel physically ill. I realize in that moment that I am at a crossroad. Stay and lose myself forever to someone I had never imagined I would be. Go and maybe, start to resurrect the real me. Or find out if she is actually gone forever. The moment hangs. My stomach drops under the weight of my decision. I hit end call and put the phone back in my pocket. And without looking back, I pick up my suitcase and walk out the door. I park in the long-term lot and not in the back either, where Ty would insist that I leave the BMW. I park it smack dab up front, tight, in between a well-dented minivan and a Ford Taurus with peeling paint. It is the very last parking space Ty would pick, and petty as it sounds, I get enormous pleasure from the fact that my door has to touch the other vehicle in order for me to squeeze out. I get my suitcase out of the trunk, letting it drop to the pavement with a hard thunk. I roll it to the white airport shuttle waiting at the curb. An older man with a kind face gets out and takes my bag from me, lifting it up the stairs with enough effort that I wish he'd let me do it myself. Then he smiles at me, and I realize he doesn't mind. There are two people already on the shuttle, sitting in the back. They are absorbed in each other, the woman laughing at something the man has said. I deliberately don't look at them, keeping my gaze focused over the shoulder of the driver who is now whistling softly.
"What gate, ma'am?" he asks, looking up at me in the rearview mirror.
"United," I answer.
"You got it," he says and goes back to his whistling.
I feel my phone vibrating in the pocket of my black coat. I try to resist the urge to look at who's calling, but my hand reaches for it automatically. "Ty." It's the third time he's called since I left the house. I put the phone back in my pocket. When we arrive at the United Gate, the whistling driver again helps me with my suitcase. I drop a tip in the cup by the door and thank him.
"You're most welcome, dear. Where are you headed?"
"Italy," I say. He lifts his eyebrows and says,
"I always wanted to see that place. You going by yourself?"
"Yes," I answer. It's only then that I'm absolutely sure I am really doing this. I am doing this. The check-in process is lengthy. When the woman behind the desk asks me about my husband's ticket, I tell her that he will be along shortly. Lying isn't something I'm in the habit of doing, but I don't think I can admit to her that he isn't coming without unraveling an explanation that might keep us both here way past the plane's departure time.
"Hopefully he'll be here soon," she says. "Don't want to cut it too close.